Welcome to Board Game Top Tens, Episode 1073, for Wednesday, December 31st, 2025. This is the BGG Top 10 Edition, a quarterly look at the top-ranked games on Board Game Geek. Now, this data is actually from January 1st of 2026, and I'm recording it on January 1st, and I'm actually publishing it on January 1st. But the dating is, I just feel like things need to be organized. I do Wednesday episodes, I do Saturday episodes. I was going to push this back to next Wednesday, but because it's the first of the year, and I'm going to have the top 100 I'm going to cover, probably around the 1st of February. I'm going to have the top 100 for page views I'm going to cover. And then I'm still going to have to fit in the GTS distribution edition. I figured I'd go ahead and buy myself an extra week here. So the top 10 has been quite stable for quite some time. But this time around, this quarter, there are only four that are in the same position they were on October 1st. The first of those is at number 10, Star Wars Rebellion by Corey Kaneska, published by Fantasy Flight Games, with a rating of 8.168. That is flat for the quarter. There's no gain, no loss from last quarter. It is 2 points down from this point last year, but then last year it was flat from 2 years before. And then, and 2 points down the year before that. So it's very stable. I've mentioned this many times before. This is a very high rating for a number 10 game. There's no other games that are really threatening it. No games on the move. Most of the games in the rest of the top 20 are older games, and they are actually falling away from Rebellion. There are three 2024 releases in the top 30, but none of those are imminently impinging on the top 10. After seven consecutive quarters, at number 7, down 2 to 9, is Terraforming Mars, by Jacob Frixelius, published by Stronghold Games, with a rating of 8.191, 23 more than Star Wars Rebellion, a decline of 5 points for the quarter, 14 points for the year. This is the 19th consecutive decline for Terraforming Mars, during which it has lost 96 points. Something I've commented on before, I'm sure, and I'm just noticing again, Rebellion has 37 quarters in the top 10. That's over 9 years. Terraforming Mars, 35. That's almost 9. There are two other games with over 30, and a couple more that are closing in on 30. It's a very stagnant top 10, historically speaking. Repeating at number 8 for the 8th consecutive quarter, War of the Ring, the second edition, by Roberto De Meglio, Marco Maggi, and Francesco Nepitello, published by Ares Games, with a rating of 8.195, 4 more than Terraforming Mars, and a 3-point gain, so it went from being 4 points behind to 4 points ahead. This is a new peak rating for War of the Ring, a game that, up until about this time last year, had never lost rating from one quarter to the next. It was flat each of the last two quarters and lost 1 point going into, I guess that would be, trying to do math, going into April of last year. So it only gained 2 points over the course of the last year after a 13-point gain the previous year and 20 points the year before that, which was a pretty normal rate of gain for it. Finally, it has passed Terraforming Mars, but also been passed by the game at number 7, climbing 2 for actually the third time in a row. Its second time here in the top 10 goes from 9 to 7. Dune Imperium Uprising by Paul Denon, published by Direwolf, with a rating of 8.199. That is 4 more than War of the Ring and 8 more than Terraforming Mars and a 29-point gain. Games, when they enter the top 10, like A House of Fire, like Uprising is doing, will come in with double-digit gains, and then those gains tend to moderate. There's not much moderation from its gain last quarter. Last quarter, it had a 36-point gain, this time 29. Before that, it was 50, so a little bit of a drop-off there, but actually not as much of a drop, percentage-wise, between the past two quarters. It has gained about 215 points, exactly 215 points, for the past year. It was number 17 on January 1st of 2025, and was not ranked 1 year before that. After 12 consecutive quarters at number 5, finally stepping back out of the top 5 to number 6, Twilight Imperium, the 4th edition, by Christian T. Peterson, Corey Kineska, and Dane Beltrami, published by Fantasy Flight Games, with a rating of 8.220. That's a 4-point decline from last time, 15 points for the year, which is a lot for Twilight Imperium. It's been in a bit of a battle here for the 5th place, and so that might have something to do with it, but it only had a 6-point decline at this point last year. In the previous year, it was 10 points, so 15 is an acceleration for sure, although not a dramatic one, because 15 points is not a lot of points. It is the 11th decline it has seen in the last 16 quarters, during which it has lost a total of 42 points. Obviously, Uprising is right on its heels. We'll touch on that competition after I get to the next game. After 7 consecutive quarters at number 6, climbing a spot to 5, switching places with Twilight Imperium, is Dune Imperium by Paul Denon, published by Direwolf, with a rating of 8.223, 3 points more than Twilight Imperium, a 1-point decline. They were effectively tied last time, actually the 4th decline it has seen over the last 5 quarters, during which it has lost a total of just 9 points. It should have Twilight Imperium now firmly in its rearview mirror. Unless, of course, things turn around, as sometimes happens, and its rating starts to decay faster than Twilight Imperium. But as things stand right now, I expect it to have locked down this number 5 position, or to be more precise, to have locked down its relative position to Twilight Imperium. It has had a smaller point decline than Twilight Imperium each of the last several quarters. It has had a 6-point decline for the year, but Twilight Imperium a 15-point decline for the year. However, there is its upstart younger brother, Dune Imperium Uprising, sitting back at number 7, just 24 points behind. The gap between these two games has gone from 90 to 54 to 24. At that rate, Uprising would supplant the original Dune Imperium at number 5 next quarter, and also in so doing pass Twilight Imperium as well, obviously. That's going to come down to whether Uprising continues to add to its rating as rapidly as it has been. It could easily have gone from this 29-point gain this time around to maybe something as small as 15 next time, in which case it would need 2 quarters to bridge the gap. The third game, sitting in position from the same position from last time, repeating at number 4 for the 5th time, Gloomhaven by Isaac Childress, published by Cephalofair Games, with a rating of 8.309. That's 86 more than Dune Imperium, and it is a 7-point decline. It has its 28th consecutive decline, during which it has lost 314 points. It has lost 29 points over the last year. The previous year it lost 33. So, pretty consistent there, anyway. The gap from between Gloomhaven and Dune Imperium, as I said, is 86 points. Last quarter it was 92, before that it was 96. So, at a rate of about 5 points per quarter, I mean, that's 18 quarters before Dune Imperium can pass Gloomhaven. I don't think that's going to happen. Now, what about Uprising? That's a different story. There's a 110-point gap between Gloomhaven and Uprising. Uprising has covered 110 points, has gained 110 points over the last three quarters. And then the quarter before that, it gained 100 points just in one quarter. So could Uprising pass Gloomhaven by, say, this time next year? It's possible. I think it's unlikely it continues to add to its rating at this pace. Whether it has enough legs to actually eventually bridge that gap is possible. We'll see. After 11 consecutive quarters at number 2, down 1 to number 3, Pandemic Legacy, Season 1, by Rob Davio and Matt Leacock, published by Z-Man Games, with a rating of 8.351, 42 more than Gloomhaven, a 5-point decline. So, again, it continues to eke out to slightly spread the gap between itself and Gloomhaven, as it's been doing for basically the last 3 years. That's a 21-point decline for the year for Pandemic Legacy, which is more than the previous year when it only lost 13. A decline of 5 points is the 30th decline Pandemic Legacy has seen in the last 31 quarters, during which it has lost 150 points. Pandemic Legacy is the current longest-running game in the top 10. This is its 41st quarter. After 9 consecutive quarters at number 4, a little over 2 years, and then 4 consecutive quarters at number 3, another full year, finally stepping up one more to number 2 is Ark Nova by Matthias Vigge, published by Capstone Games, with a rating of 8.354. That's 3 points more than Pandemic Legacy, a 2-point gain, its smallest quarterly gain so far, and a 7-point swing between it and Pandemic Legacy. However, it's had a 13-point gain for the year, a 17-point gain the year before, so it is continuing to slowly march forward. Can it threaten number 1? Well, currently at number 1, and there for the 12th consecutive quarter, is Brass, Birmingham, by Matt Tolman, Martin Wallace, and Gavin Brown, published by Roxley Games, with a rating of 8.398. So it falls just below the 8.4 threshold. It's a 2-point decline for the quarter, an 11-point decline for the year, after an 11-point decline last year, after a 13-point decline the year before that. So it is very consistent in its ratings decay. This is the 10th decline in the last 11 quarters that Brass has seen, during which it has lost 35 points. Now, all along, ever since it passed Pandemic Legacy, we've been comparing what its rating is in comparison to Pandemic Legacy, and they've been fairly consistent. Sometimes it expands, sometimes it contracts. Well, over the last three quarters, it's just grown. Brass picked up 3 points on Pandemic this quarter, 3 points the last quarter, 5 points the quarter before that. So it doesn't seem like there's anything changing in relative position between those two anytime soon. But what about Ark Nova? Well, the gap here is 44 points, which doesn't sound like a ton. But at their current rate of closing, we're still looking at a couple of years. It's a 4-point swing this time. It was 5 points last time, 6 points the time before that. Over the year, it has been 24. So if Arc Nova can continue to gain at its the steady rate that it has been, you know, maybe it can do it in a little less than 2 years. But I think we're really looking at two solid years before Arc Nova can threaten to pass Brass. And I think it's capable of it. It really has had an incredible, consistent rise and performance. There's no real reason to think that should stop. Although, of course, at any time, it could. For Wednesday, December 31st, 2025. But actually, it's January 1st, 2026.